The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I think my wife might be on the same salad pizza.
I'm over it.
Okay.
But you guys didn't hear what I said yesterday. You don't like my salad with pizza? Well, you know it doesn't go together?
What are you doing? What? Did you just double dip that shit?
Grilled cheese and tomato soup.
What?
Okay. It's tuna fish and tomato soup because of the dipping into the soup of the tuna.
Excuse me? You double dipped the chip.
Double dipped? What are you talking about?
You dipped the chip, you took a bite, and you dipped again.
You don't dip grilled cheese into tomato soup.
Yeah, you do.
No, I mean, no.
This is crazy.
I'm not listening to you.
But I was just about to come to your defense.
Okay,
like putting your whole mouth right in the dip.
Well, I'm sorry, Timmy,
but I don't dip that way. Oh, you don't, huh?
No. You dip the way you want to dip. I'll dip the way I want to dip.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
Running her mouth, she wants to ride it. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it.
At this point, any ability that Mark Chamora has to surprise and delight me, well, that's on me. Because Mark Chamora is a vast, deep well of delightful surprises, isn't he, Gabe?
Delightful?
Delightful surprises.
I mean, he's been on one this week, and I don't know if delightful is the word I would use to describe the Mark Chamora we've had
Careful.
This week.
What about Careful. The revelation he gave us this morning? We're having our production meeting, going over the content, going over the topics we want to discuss this morning on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. And Chewy says, what did you say, Chew?
I got to pull my crab traps today. First but before all. We get to that, Jen, I've already gotten it.
What do you mean before we get
Hold
to
on.
That?
I came because I've been a little, Gabe, what's the word you want to use for this week so far?
Ornery?
I've been what?
Ornery?
Ornery. Already gotten yelled at out of the gate. The show wasn't even on yet.
Wait, how did you get yelled at?
And I already got yelled at.
Who yelled at you?
Josh.
How did Josh yell at you?
Josh, what'd you say?
So are you done arguing with the open yet?
What do you mean? Wait, were you arguing with the open as the open was playing?
Yes.
You were trying to relitigate your tuna fish and tomato soup terrible take?
Yeah, he was arguing with you actually in the open. He said, when you said you dip grilled cheese into tomato soup, he said, no, you don't. To no one in particular.
You know that's a recording, huh, bud?
You know what?
Wait, do you argue with the telemarketers when they call you too?
Grilled cheese is not sponge-worthy, okay? From a Seinfeld reference. It's just not sponge-worthy. So, Jen, back to your original question. I have 20 crab traps out in my backyard. I got a grocery store right in my backyard.
What?
Okay?
Just so you know, we do a show with you. Yeah, there it is. Well, we got a little underdussy happening here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Hold on a minute. We are with you every morning from 7 to 9, many mornings, some mornings, a lot of mornings. And I never knew that you had crab traps, Chew. I never knew that you had. So can you please walk me through how this goes? You drop them in the ocean. How does this work?
First you got to get a license to do it. Which me and my buddy have, which allows us to catch X amount of crabs. So, first of all, you got to go get bait. And the bait consists of fish carcasses and pig's feet.
Sure. Naturally.
Okay.
Would have assumed that. Yeah. Without a doubt. That was my first guess.
It is, and I know you guys don't want to hear this, but it's cold down here. It's cold. It's like 56 degrees.
Poor baby.
But I have to go. I have to go about 3 miles out, which is kind of probably going to be in the 40s. Now, 40s and water don't really mix.
Now, that is true. I will give you that.
Yes. So, and the water's about 60. So you got to pull the crab traps up manually. So you're going to get wet and you're going to get dirty. But the thing is here, and I told you guys before the show started, Stone crab down here is $147 a pound. And you guys have had stone crab, right?
Sure, sure. So how many stone crab equal 1 pound? Is one stone crab 1 pound? So you pull one crab?
No. Go ahead. I would say about four claws. Four claws are probably about a pound. So we'll go out, and we've been nailing it this year. I don't know why.
How many claws does one crab have?
Two.
Yeah.
But the law changed down here.
Come on, you've seen Little Mermaid. Come on.
Yeah, but the law changed where you only used to be able to pull one claw. Now you can pull both of them. And it is so cool.
Whoa.
Yeah,
whoa.
I know. I had the same question, but I'm a law-abiding citizen, and I only do what they tell me to do.
So you just get the one, and then you throw it back?
Yeah, I was about to say, what is this, catch and release, and then they just swim in a circle? What are we doing?
They do regrow their limbs.
Yeah, oh, really? They regrow them.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, then you put them back in the box is what you do. You put them back in the trap, and you wait for that sucker to regrow the claw.
I didn't know. So you're literally right there just lopping off the pincher and throwing it back in?
But it's so cool how you do it. And number one, you got to be very careful not to get your fingers caught in the claws because they will break your finger. That's how strong they are. So it would be the equivalent of sticking something sharp in your elbow, right? And then it pops, and then it pops at the shoulder and let go. It's super cool. It's really cool.
Gross. I love that you used a human as an example for explaining that to us.
Yeah, it's like if you were getting bit by a dog and you could just give them your arm and run away, that is equivalent to what a stone crab does.
Like a lizard that releases its tail?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. So you're going to go out. How many traps do you have?
20.
Holy moly.
Yeah, 20 traps in our last haul, not our last haul, but the haul before, I'm going to say we probably pulled in $1,000 worth of crab.
Huh. How about that?
So,
again, Chewy.
Which actually isn't that much crab when you figure it's $147 a pound.
Yeah.
So, like 10. Yeah. So, you got 8 crab. Way to go. Or 8 claws. I don't even know how this works. I just assume that you, I assume that when you sell it to the people, they want just the crab, but you're telling me that's not how it works. They want just the claws.
No. Yeah, not with stone crab. You just pop the claws off and you throw them back in. And then, like Joshy said, they regenerate and there has to be a certain length, okay? So you have a tool to measure the claw, and if it's under that, then you can't take it.
I've watched Deadliest Catch,
I know. Well, so is he, apparently, because that's, I'm sure, what inspired this adventure.
I mean, everybody knows Deadliest Catch comes on before Ice Road Truckers, so he's ready to go.
But Deadliest Catch are king crab and Apelios. These are stones. So these are probably on the food chain of crabs the highest, because the king crabs are about $50 a pound.
Okay, but here's what I want to get back to, because I think all of this is super fascinating. How did we not know this about you? Like, am I the only one that is blown away by the fact that our buddy, our pal, our teammate has a stone crab business? This is the first I'm hearing of this.
I don't think you guys picked up the crumbs, because I've talked about, and I can tell you this, stone crab and Chardonnay is a lot better than stone crab and chicken noodle soup.
Well, obviously.
It's just a lot better.
Yes.
So what we do, because there's three of us that have a license to catch the crab, and Angry's weird. My buddy Angry.
Yeah.
Wait, this is your buddy's nickname?
Oh, yeah, he's gone over this before.
What is he, one of the seven dwarfs?
It's Emoji Girls.
Right out of the gate. I named him Angry. And everyone's like, wow, you nailed that
from
nickname.
Inside out?
He doesn't eat any fish. He's got like a million-dollar fishing boat, loves to fish, doesn't eat any fish, doesn't eat any crab. All he does is eat peanut butter and jelly. But he loves to go out and do this stuff, which is great. Because it's more for me and my other buddy.
So how do you retrieve the trap? Because are you worried about, like, poachers at all?
Yep, Jen's got it. Oh, yeah, we get poached. So you Ziploc them, and I would say we'll go out today, and I would say three of the traps will have the Ziploc cut, which means people are poaching our crab.
Oh, my gosh.
But I think you're allowed to shoot them if you catch them. I know in Maine you're allowed to shoot if someone's pulling your if someone's pulling your trash.
Well, yeah.
I hope with a flare gun. I hope we're just popping a flare
Maine
gun.
Maine is
over
a
there.
Different kind of state. Maine is a different kind of state.
Do people not realize that because they think of Maine? They just think of beautiful fall and all the colors that potentially happen in Maine. So nobody thinks of Maine being a troublemaking state where people are getting shot for poaching crab?
But, Gabe, the old wives' tale, having grown up there, is they would, because they haul their stuff up on a winch, and we hand pull ours, so the old wives' tale was they would put razor blades on the rope. So poachers, when pulling them up, would
cut their hands. Smart. And then what would the people who are actually getting the crabs do? Would they have like a...
They'd use the winch.
Ah, they'd use the winch, of course. Between the crabs and the wedges, this has become a very interesting conversation here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Folks weighing in on the Carbless Talk and Text Line, 800-990-3776. Brandon says, Chewy is basically a man of mystery. I learn something new every day about him, I swear. Ryan from Iguanago says, is a crab license also called a hall pass? It's a good little joke. And then Dumpy wants to know, do you make crab dip with your crab? So do you keep any of the snow crab claws that you are getting, or are you selling all of them, Chew?
Oh, you can't sell them. No, you have to have a commercial license for that. So we can't sell them. And it's stone crab. It's too bougie to put into a dip.
Hold on.
Yeah,
I thought you were telling us that it was worth like $1,000. You ate all that crab?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, you just...
So on Thursdays...
Yeah, again, it's not that much crab. Yeah.
On Thursdays...
It's a lot more crab
enough,
than I've ever had.
I would say
that much crab down at the Harbor House. You're going to spend a pretty penny.
I would say out of 8 people could crush probably $1,000 worth of crab, if that's all you're eating. And that's what we'll do.
Yeah, it's just a pound of crab per person.
So you're going to have a party. Yeah. You're going to have a crab party.
Yeah.
Putting the stone crab into a crab dip would be like, I don't know, putting ketchup on your filet mignon.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
What about
yeah.
crab cakes?
I still think that is... It,
that's blue crab.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You guys know a lot about crabs. Tell you. Like, my crab knowledge is very small, and your crab knowledge is vast.
This is what happens when you have crab traps.
I am very impressed with
Chewy's got time, but nothing to learn about nothing but crabs.
Now my wife has turned it into, you know what she asks me now? Because she's in Jackson, Mississippi buying shop. You know what she asks me? She monitors how many people I talk to in a day.
How does she do that?
Because reports have come out through the NFL and stuff that one of the signs is... of CTE is you kind of withdraw yourself and you don't like to be around people. I said,
that's tough for you because that seems like that's been you since 1995.
Hours a day. So the first thing out of her mouth when she calls yesterday is how many people you talk to. I talk for 2 hours a day. That is enough.
See, if this was happening to me, I'd be firmly in the... I talk to like 5 people a day.
Yes.
Who do I got to talk to?
Oh, speaking of talking, I had a guy sitting next to me on the plane yesterday.
Chit-chatter? Not one of those.
Chitty-chitty-chat-chat. And he said, every time I go on an airplane, I never wear my seatbelt because if we crash, I want to die. And I was like...
Oh.
Don't they check? Does he fake it?
How do you handle that, though? How do you handle that? Headphones?
I try to be kind, try to be nice, and then I put my hood up over my head.
I was about to say, that's where having the over-the-ear headphones a lot better than just the earbuds.
Yes,
because it's very, it's more obvious that you have your headphones on.
But that guy definitely doesn't have CTE because he talked to everybody.
You know who you sound like when you travel?
Who?
You sound like Steve Martin from Planes, Trains, Automobiles. With people taking off their socks, people talking to you too much. It's you're a target.
I'm a target? Maybe. It's possible.
I don't know.
I just travel a lot.
At the very least, a magnet.
I was going to say, I think we're just dealing with frequency here.
Yeah, I think you're right, Josh.
You run into everyone eventually if you travel enough.
Exactly. I think that's what it is. That reminds me of the old, and I thought about this recently when Chaser was going to get his license, Chaser, my 16-year-old. When I was in driver's ed, our teacher told us, most of the accidents you get in will happen 5 miles from your home.
Yeah.
And it was like, whoa, okay, well, when you're 5 miles from your home, you got to be careful because that's when most of the accidents happen. And we had one, you know, smart person in the class who was like, where do you think you're driving the most?
Exactly.
You're driving 5 miles around your house. 5 mile radius. You're not going too far outside of that little circle. And that's why most of the accidents happen 5 miles from someone's home. We got to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Speaking of accidents, what a segment. Jason Wilde is coming up next. Talk to him about a lot of things that are developing with the Green Bay Packers. Did you hear that Jeff Hafley is getting interest for being a head coach in the league? We'll talk to him about that. And Devontae Adams Packers reunion, question mark? All that coming up right after this on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
It is National Pizza Week. No better way than celebrate with our friends at Palermo's Pizza. And they've got a screaming deal going on right now at Piggly Wiggly with all the different screaming Sicilian favorites on sale, just $6.99. I love talking about Palermo's and all the different brands they have and how they have so many different flavors with the different brands. But even just within Screamin' Sicilian, the number of different crusts you can get, from the Screamin' Sicilian stuffed crust, the Detroit style, Screamin' Sicilian tavern style, it just so many different, and that doesn't even include the original Screamin' Sicilian. You are going to find a crust, you are going to find a flavor that you like. So stock up right now at Piggly Wiggly, which is $6.99. Head over to your local Piggly Wiggly store. Stock up on Screamin' Sicilian, $6.99 right now through January 21st. Palermo's flavor is our family's business.
Ready, down, put.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Check in with our friend and teammate Jason Wilde. Good morning, Jason. How are you doing on this fine Thursday?
Great. How are you?
Tony the Tiger. We had Sebastian the Crab in the first segment of the show. Now we've got Tony the Tiger. If we can keep up the trend of an animated character throughout the show, that'd be a cool little achievement. I want to know about Devontae Adams. So I heard that you talked with him or exchanged information with him.
Corresponded.
That's a perfect way to put it. Thank you so much. Corresponded with Devontae Adams. What do you think the likelihood of him having a reunion with the Packers really is?
100%.
What?
Can't wait.
No, I don't know about that. But, you know, much like Chewy was one of my guys back in the day, he's one of my guys. I would really like to have him back in that locker room from purely media starts with me, the perspective of that. So I don't know. Like, I would just say this. The fact that he's having these conversations with Kay Adams, no relation, you don't have to talk that way, right? Like, he could easily brush any sort of Packers-related conversation aside. And the fact that he's not tells me that, at least from his side of the equation, that knowing that the Jets are not going to bring him back, he's thinking, you know what? Now that it looks like Jordan Love doesn't stink like I thought he did when I left, this is something that might be a really good thing for me. So I don't know the percentage, but again, when someone is talking about something the way he was, you know, the idea that they need a veteran receiver, that, you know, I still believe in Jordan Love, like all those things that he was saying in those clips that Kay posted from her show, I would say that there is some interest. And my point when I was talking about my correspondence with him, because I hate it when I do that, because I don't want it to sound like, oh, I was texting with Devontae Adams. That's not how this works. But, you know, my point in our correspondence was, A, I'd like to have him on our show, and B, like, when this stuff is out there, you know, he obviously knows that if it's something that's not really something he's interested in, it was just talk and it really doesn't mean anything, he had every opportunity to tell me, you know, hey, don't make too big of a deal out of this. You know, we're just talking. And he didn't do that. So I'm not saying he's going to be a Green Bay Packer by any means. I'm just saying that clearly for a guy who left here pretty ticked off that Goody lowballed him and then didn't get a deal done with him before the 21 season, his position has clearly shifted at least a little bit.
Jason, does this part of the offseason drive you nuts? Because it drives me nuts. Not only is Devontae Adams coming to the Packers, but I've seen articles that Max Crosby's coming and so is Myles Garrett. I'm like, it's just, yeah, it drives me. So they lowball Aaron Jones, who still obviously has gas in his tank. What makes you think Devontae's going to be happy with what Goody's going to offer him?
Yeah, I think I figured out how we can get Bonds and Griffey and we don't have to give up all that much.
Yeah.
Thanks, George.
This is a fun time for conjecture and it's a fun time for putting things into the, I guess it wouldn't be the trade machine, it would be the free agency machine. But look, in fairness to the folks that are, dreaming big, I don't see Myles Garrett and Max Crosby by any means, but they've got money to spend, which, you think about last year when they're eating, what was it, $41 million of dead cap space from the previous quarterback. They're in a position where they can spend. I mean, if they move on from Jair, these are the kinds of things that I'm fascinated by. If you move on from Jair, obviously, you don't have a two-time All-Pro on your team anymore, but the last 2 years, you barely had him on your team to begin with. But he's going to be $19 million in dead cap space, right? But his pay was going to be $25 million in terms of his cap charge if he was on your team. Plus, he's got those voidable years or whatever. I mean, I am 100% sure they're moving on from him. And so what's crazy is that they would move on from a guy who obviously has been a, when healthy, cornerstone player, and it actually creates cap room. So they'll have even more. So they have the ability to do it. I would say, again, I don't want to poke fun at folks that are putting together the all-star team on the Packers roster, but, you can't really blame them when Goody went outside of his track record and went and added Josh Jacobs, a former NFL leading rusher who turned out to be great for them this year, and Xavier McKinney, who I don't know Joe Shane at all, but only an idiot would let that guy out their door like the Giants did. So I can see why you would be starting to dream big and thinking about all the guys that the Packers can add with the cap space they have and a general manager who is way more like Ted Thompson than people thought he was going to be because of that one big free agent class in 19. But now that he's done it again, I understand why they're getting their hopes up.
How concerned should Packers fans be about Jeff Heflin being requested by the Jets? Do you think another team comes in? Because this is kind of the slow part of this, where teams are dragging out. They're waiting to talk to teams and coaches that get eliminated as the playoffs go along. Do you think Heflin's going to get more than just the Jets requesting?
Maybe, but here's the thing. Like, I don't know. When is your interview with the Jets? I mean, they already interviewed Mike Greenberg, right, for their GM job. So,
I know. I just want to make sure that some of our loyal listeners don't think the host of Get Up is getting an interview with the Jets.
Although he did tweet after the Jets said, "We've interviewed Mike Greenberg for our GM," retweeted that saying, "This is the best tweet ever."
Yeah, but that wouldn't surprise you when it comes to the Jets.
Hey, why? Just because they interviewed his co-host and Rex Ryan for the head coaching job?
Yeah, I think Evan Cohen is up for their quarterback's coach. Yeah, exactly. So my point is that they're interviewing everybody, right? And that I do not mean that in any way to demean Jeff Heflin. When you have a top five defense, you carry yourself like a head coach, you've been a head coach at the college level, all those things. I would want to interview him too. I do like interviewing him every week. So I get it. Do I think that he is going to get a job this cycle? I don't. And maybe that's, again, media starts with me, selfish, but I think you have to have a little more sustained success as a coordinator. Remember, this is the first time he has been an NFL coordinator, right? I mean, yeah, it's great that he was the head coach at Boston College. I mean, Lord knows they'll let anybody play there. But on top of that, like he was like a co-defensive coordinator at Ohio State in 19. I would think that he is a rising star type coach if he continues on this trajectory with the Packers defense. But it feels kind of like it felt like about the Packers in general for me this season. It feels a little early for him to get one of these jobs. And you know, if Jeff Hafley, who, you know, I really enjoy our working relationship, if he were to say, Jason, well, I think the Jets are going to offer me the job. What do you think? I would say, do what Ben Johnson did last year. Ben Johnson had opportunities to be a head coach, right? And he said, not really a huge fan of the teams that have openings. I know he's from Jersey. I know everyone in this business thinks they're going to be the one to change things, right? Whether it's fixing a defense or fixing an organization. But man, oh man, when you have such institutionalized failure and dysfunction in an organization, I understand there's only 32 of those jobs, but man, I don't know who really wants to be the head coach of the Jets, given the way that place works.
I couldn't agree with you more. And it feels like even what he has shown in a limited time as a defensive coordinator, he deserves better. And he probably, like you said, if you wait another cycle or two, will get a better opportunity, one that, you know, doesn't feel like you're stepping into the Jets situation.
Poop. Dog poop. Yeah.
Dog poop.
On your shoe. Yeah.
All right.
Jen,
go ahead. Shoot.
In the yard.
One more, Jason. Was LaFleur blindsided by Tom Clemens retiring, or do you think he knew that for some time?
No, I think he knew that was coming. I mean, you know, I know Tausch likes to give me a hard time because I'm not a huge Dan Orlovsky fan, and I know he's, you know, kind of pumping up the possibility of him when he was on McAfee yesterday. But look, there's a reason why LaFleur brought in Sean Mannion last year. Sean Mannion, who obviously, and you know this, having played with Doug Peterson, like, it sure seems to me like backup quarterbacks as head coaches are kind of like catchers as managers in baseball. Like, they just know so much that they're really good candidates. And, you know, Sean Mannion spent 9 years in the league. You know, you guys know I know John Schneider pretty well. Well, he was in Seattle for two different tours. Schneider told him, you're going to be a head coach in the league someday. And so, you know, LaFleur brings him in as an offensive assistant last year. So he's a guy that I could see getting the job. I could see Connor Lewis, who is one of LaFleur's favorite assistants, getting the job. And then don't forget, for the last month or so, he brought in Luke Getsy as kind of a second Robert Saleh type. Robert Saleh looking at working on the offensive side of the ball with Stenovich. Luke Getsy, former Packers wide receivers coach, quarterbacks coach, offensive coordinator for the Bears and the Raiders, gets fired by the Raiders. LaFleur brings him in to be the Saleh for the offense, or for the defense, looking at opposing offenses. So now you've brought back another guy that you really liked working with. So now you've got three guys in-house that all make sense. So I would think that it would be one of those three. But, yeah, they could go outside for it. But, yes, I think he knew. Tom Clemens is 71. He's unretired twice already to go come back. And again, I know Aaron Rodgers does some things that rub people the wrong way. But he did Jordan Love a ginormous favor. He didn't do it for Jordan Love. Let's be clear. He did it for Aaron Rodgers. But he did Love a huge favor by getting Tom Clemens out of retirement to come back.
Jason, a little fun fact here. Did you know that Holmgren pleaded with Jim McMahon to be an assistant coach?
I did not know that.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, he pleaded with him after he was done that, I think, the Super Bowl year. Yeah, he wanted him to come back as quarterback coach.
That would have been interesting. Would he have worn his sunglasses all the time and the headband that said Roselle?
I didn't have to room with him. I was fine.
So I was scrolling through Twitter, X, whatever we call it nowadays, Elon.com, yesterday, and I came across that classic clip of Andy Reid talking to Favre on the sideline, and Favre says, "I love you, man." And then Reid says, "Well, I hope you love me when I get my ass chewed in a minute here." And Holmgren comes over, and Favre clearly has screwed up, right? He has not run the play that was called. And Andy Reid tells Holmgren, "No, that was on me. I sent in the wrong call." Well, why the hell did you do that? I love that Andy Reid was such a good coach to that guy, and he didn't do anything wrong, and yet he admitted to doing something wrong to protect his player from Mount Holmgren erupting.
He will have your back. I can attest.
My guys love him. Yeah, no doubt about that.
Jason, we appreciate you. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right, everybody, take care. Be good.
Jason Wilde, right after Jen, Gabe, and Chewy on Wilde and Tausch each and every weekday here on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. Whether you're a local who wants to enjoy a night out or you're planning to visit Milwaukee, enjoy an artfully stylish experience at St. Kate the Arts Hotel. It's ideally located in the heart of the Theater District in downtown Milwaukee. Deluxe accommodations, culinary creativity, on-site art galleries, and nightly live music, so you will enjoy every element of your stay at St. Kate. Learn more and book your stay at stkatearts.com. That's stkatearts.com. Let's dive into the Devontae Adams. Devontae or T. Higgins? Do you want Devontae back? I guess there's one person on the panel who says, maybe not. That's next.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
63. What's that?
Number of yards they gave up on the ground against the Philadelphia Eagles.
It's a Bible verse, John 3:63. Look it up. Tell us what it says.
I thought it was Joe 3:63, and it was, "Thou shalt not get past me on the line of scrimmage."
On 94.5 ESPN.
Back here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. If you missed any of our conversation with Jason Wilde, you can find it on Wisconsin On Demand or wherever you get your podcast. Jason corresponded with Devontae Adams the other day, and it sounds like, based on what Devontae has said on the Up and Adams podcast, the clips that you have probably seen on social media, that Devontae Adams would be open to a reunion for and with the Green Bay Packers. Now, the other name out there is T. Higgins. I believe Devontae Adams also articulated that during his interview, that he has seen that the Packers are interested in T. Higgins. But like Gabe said earlier, who even knows if that's a possibility? Gabe, if you had to guess, do you think T. Higgins will actually be available for the Packers?
Yeah, but the smart thing to do for the Bengals would be to franchise and trade him if they don't want him to be there. So now you're going to have to give up draft capital plus give T. Higgins a huge contract, which would, you know, again, be difficult, especially if you want to add a lot of players this offseason. The Packers have many holes, so giving up draft capital and monetary capital, that would be a tough one to swallow for the Packers.
Chew, where do you stand, Chew, on the Devontae Adams potential reunion with the Green Bay Packers?
Well, let me ask a question. What will he demand on the open market? What will someone pay him?
I don't know.
I mean, Gabe, you were just talking how great he was.
Yeah, he had 1,000 yards. Meeting. He had 1,000 yards last year.
Great. How much would he command on the open market?
Probably 15 to 20.
You think Goody's going to pay that? After he lowballed the crap out of Aaron Jones, who had an unbelievable back half of the year last year, gave him an embarrassing offer, already snubbed Devontae Adams 3 years ago. You think Goody's going to pay him $20 million a year? I'm just asking.
That's where, again, because he is, I mean, it's interesting because he'll turn 33 on Christmas Eve next year. So he literally just turned, you know, 32 not that long ago. So he'll turn 33 Christmas Eve next year. But the problem is, yeah, he's a little bit older than Goody wants. But the problem starts to become, if you want a veteran wide receiver that has some upside, like, that list starts to run out pretty quick.
Yeah, Josh, didn't you send us the list a few days ago, the list of, like, potential veteran-esque wide receivers? And you even said, like, look, the shortness, the length of this list, which is relatively short, is part of the reason why it's going to be tough sledding for the Green Bay Packers to add a veteran wide receiver that they can afford.
Yeah, I mean, T. Higgins leads the list by a long bit, and then it turns into Chris Godwin, turns into Keenan Allen, Slayton. There's like, it drops off really fast. Brandon Cooks is like a top five potential target, which is, I mean, based on actual like talent available and what we've seen before, Davante Adams becomes immediately the preferred option after T. Higgins to virtually everyone.
And I agree, it'd be a good pickup, but this goes against everything Goody does.
Yep.
Goes against everything he does. And there's track records. Aaron Jones, probably not alone. There's probably other players that are slipping my mind that he just, Goody probably like, $7 million sounds good for me. That ain't going to happen. Ain't going to happen.
There's
and
no
I don't
part
think it's
going
to happen with Goody paying him $20 million for a 33-year-old receiver who still puts up numbers, but it just goes against everything Goody's philosophy.
So there's no part of you, Chew, that says Davante Adams looks at the experience he had in New York this past year, maybe even the experience that he had in the Raiders, and thinks, man, maybe the grass wasn't greener. Yeah, it was nice to get paid, obviously, and there was frustration with how the Packers handled that situation. But you think there's any part of him that goes, I had a really good thing going in Green Bay. There's familiarity there. I have a great relationship with Matt LaFleur. There are some things that are more important at this stage of the career than getting top dollar on the open market.
Depends. How expensive do you think that Taco Bell in his house is to maintain?
My guess is he spends $0
he's
to maintain
have to,
Taco Bell in his house.
That guy who works there?
Is he going to relocate to Green Bay? He's probably got a life in Vegas or in New York or wherever it is.
How I think it plays out, Jen, is Mike McCarthy, this is just spitballing, throwing stuff against the wall here, but Mike McCarthy goes to New Orleans, maybe brings Aaron with him, and they say, we'll give Davante 20. And then he goes to the Packers.
They don't have
money.
How
much are you going to give me? How much are you going to give me? Well, he's just the example that popped in my head. Goody, how much are you going to give him? We'll give him 7.
But the problem is, too, if you're serious about addressing that position, if the Packers, and maybe they're not, you know, we all think that they should, and maybe Goody thinks, no, we're good, even though Christian Watson's going to be missing 10 to 12 weeks to start the season, we'll be fine, those guys are fine, and maybe that's what Goody thinks, but if he's serious about addressing that position, he's going to have to spend some money and do some things that he typically doesn't do.
And we are seeing the numbers that are being thrown out there, Chew, because obviously, as you mentioned with Jason, there's a lot of big names that are being connected with the Packers, and a lot of it is just wishful thinking. But Max Crosby is one that people are talking about, and it doesn't look like the Packers are going to have the space, the money, to get a guy like Max Crosby and not bankrupt themselves to do all of the other spending that they must do, i.e. draft class, i.e. all of the other things that you have to spend money on. Even though it's pennies to the dollar, it adds up very quickly. So a Max Crosby deal that would, what was the number I saw? Was it 25? Were you guys seeing 25 out there associated with Max Crosby, Joshy?
No, he's got a contract that he would be coming with. The Packers do have room to make it, and they would do it by adding void years, by re-signing some guys to contracts. Like, it's totally doable and would leave them enough money.
Would it leave them enough money to also address the Davante Adams thing?
It depends what Davante, like, would you be shocked if Devontae ends up making 10? The guy's made $140 million. He's 33 years old. Like,
I don't know, maybe. I mean, maybe he decides because the one thing that he doesn't have is that Super Bowl ring.
Correct.
So if he wants to ring chase wherever he goes, maybe he takes a little bit less. I'm not sure. You know, if he decides to go to, you know, whether it's Green Bay, whether it's San Francisco, whether it's wherever.
Right.
But production-wise, where does he fit in with the receivers in the NFL? And I'd love to have Davante. I'm just speaking from the standpoint of what I think Goody is going to do. Because you know what Goody likes? 24-year-old free agents, 26-year-old free agents.
But those wide receivers, Chew, don't hit the market. Like, if you're a good wide receiver that is capable of getting up over 1,000 yards, teams are going to pay you to stick around.
Yeah, but Goody probably still thinks Lucas Van Ness is going to pan out. So he thinks that, hey, I can get a second. Look at what I did here. I mean, I'm not giving up on these receivers yet. I think they'll develop. I can go and get a second-round pick, and he'll be just as effective as. And I get why Goody does it. 33 years old, you're worried about paying a guy money and then having him blow out his Achilles or something like that. You know, 33 years is probably old. Non-quarterback position is probably considered old in the NFL. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, it's getting up there. But again, there's not a lot of 32, 33-year-olds that can have the production that Devontae even had last year.
Yes.
Because he was, I mean, Chewy, he was still top 10 in terms of yards per game. Like, he missed a couple of games, but he still got over 1,000 yards. He was averaging 76 yards per game.
But will you agree with me that $10 million isn't going to get it done? Who? Do I want MVS at $12 million, or do I want Devontae Adams at 10?
So
it
that's
ain't
the
happening
thing.
At 10.
Maybe it does, though, Chu, if he decides that he wants to ring chase and fit into a roster. I don't know. I don't know what he's thinking. I don't know if he's like, okay, I already got that big-time contract. I've been paid a couple of times. I've got some money going on. Let's chase that ring and accept a lesser deal. Like, that's certainly within the realm of possibility. I don't know if that's what he does.
Well, it didn't happen with Aaron. It didn't happen with Aaron.
Well, and I don't think that you can underestimate also the possibility of just the familiarity being a really big selling point, right? He's married. He has kids going back to Green Bay. Like, that's a place he knows, as opposed to this thing that guys do where they just kind of claw themselves out of a spot and then get dropped into another spot and then claw themselves out of that spot and get dropped into another spot. Like, I think that might be a big selling point for this guy.
All right.
I do.
Okay.
And the value that the Packers see is not just his production. It is something that Gabe harps on this show all the time. It is being a mentor to those younger wide receivers, having that elder statesman who can usher the guys in, who can show them the ropes, who can talk them through some of these situations that maybe they haven't had somebody there in the last few seasons.
And the difference, all three of you? Yep.
Go ahead, Gabe.
Well, I was just going to say quickly, the difference between Devontae and Aaron Jones, Aaron Jones never got that big-time deal.
Always chasing.
Well, he's running back. Yeah.
He's running back. Whereas Devontae did get a big-time contract.
All right, all three of you, percentage that it happens.
50-50.
I was going to give it 25.
25%?
Yeah.
And is it the money that's the hang-up for you? It just depends on what Devontae is willing to take?
No. Because
this seems like the perfect marriage, if we're being honest, if you take the money out of it.
The biggest difference to me is the fact that he is going to be 32, 33. So not only would Goody be going against, you know, again, going back out and getting another free agent, even though we just did it last year, more often than not, he's not chasing big money free agents. So he would have to go against doing that again. And then additionally, he would be paying somebody that old, which is something he doesn't want to do and typically has not done. And the last two times, to Chewy's point, he's given money to guys that are a little bit older that are going to be on that next contract. Bakhtiari blew up in his face, again, through no fault of Bakhtiari's because of the knee injury. And then he just did it with Kenny Clark, who had a subpar year. So I don't 10%. Know if that makes him. I don't know if that makes him jittery in terms of signing guys to contracts. Maybe they sign him to a 1-year deal. Who knows? But it just seems like some other things that Goody typically doesn't do would have to fall into place.
I'll go on the other side, Shoe, and say 60-40. I think it lines up very well if the two sides can figure out the money, which is a big if. But if Devontae wants to continue his career, wants to go somewhere he's familiar, wants to go somewhere where he is the number one wide receiver, wants to go somewhere where he has a good relationship with the head coach, I think it all sort of is aligning other than what are you going to pay him at 32 years old. We got to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Still a lot of stuff to get to this morning. And I want to tell you about my friends over at Quintessa Aesthetic Center. I know New Year's is a time when a lot of people want to hit the reset button, whether it's fitness or wellness or just taking better care of ourselves. And let's be honest, gang, feeling confident in how you look is not just for women. That's where Quintessa Aesthetic Center comes in. From January 1st through March 31st, they are offering special packages to help you start 2025 as the most confident version of yourself, whether it's wellness and weight loss plans, Botox, skincare, even IV therapy. They've got personalized options backed by medical expertise to help you look and feel your best. You can check it all out at their website, myquintessa.com, to help make this year the year you feel the most confident inside and out.
You're listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I mean, this world is geared towards women.
Like, what do we get? I am stepping away from this. Goodbye.
Like, what do we get? They get a comb that dries your hair. We get a stupid razor. Hey, I mean, what's the coolest thing we get? They get the hair dryer.
Control.
On 94.5 ESPN. So get it on.
We're putting it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll. Do you think Davante Adams is a realistic option for Brian Gutekunst and the Green Bay Packers this season, this offseason? And we are going over all the reasons why. It sounds like Chew's biggest reason not to go after Davante Adams is the age, Chew. You're worried that he will lose a step from now until the start of the season, by the end of the season when he turns 33 and will not be as effective. Is that correct?
Yeah, I just don't think it's what Goody does. I don't think he's going to change his philosophy. I think he would rather go get a upper mid-level receiver who's younger or draft one as opposed to pay a 33-year-old millions of dollars.
So that's interesting because you're saying you don't think it's what Goody has done and will do. But should he? Should he change his spots? Should he do differently than he has done? Because you could make the argument that what he has done, which is getting younger and younger and younger and younger, while it does have its benefits, obviously shows up on the field as well.
Well, they certainly need to do something. But I think, just like Gabe said, you know, Bakhtiari blew up in his face. I think he may even regret signing Kenny Clark, who had... we didn't give him grade yet, did we, Gabe?
No, we've got defense coming up later.
That's today. So he didn't have a great year, and that was a third contract. So I just think there's too many signs out there pointing to he's just not going to do it.
Just so we're all on the same page here, I would view it as terrible decision-making by Goody to view what happened with different players in separate situations as a reason not to do it with Davante Adams. Each of these things need to be independent, and obviously age and likelihood of injury does factor in. But David Bakhtiari blowing out his knee was a freak incident that ended up cannonballing into even worse than anyone could have imagined.
But you couldn't blame Goody if he went, man, I don't give out third contracts. I gave one to him, and then it blew up in my face. I'm not giving out third contracts.
I would blame him for that.
Like I think that's a natural reaction to something that happened of, hey, I went against the grain for these two guys, and it's blowing up in my face both times.
Correct.
Like I should stick to my principle of no third contracts unless we're talking about a quarterback or somebody truly special.
That is something I would expect you and myself to make. I don't expect somebody at the highest level of decision making to be influenced by previous bad decisions, because if you operate that way, then you end up winnowing down further and further of the options that then fit your mold of what you want to happen.
But it's decision bias. Yeah, but he's not a robot.
And he's pretty close.
No, but it's like when we talk about the drafting, Joshy, and we talk about this every draft season about how the Packers love the relative athletic score.
Yes.
But occasionally they will go outside of that parameter. You have to be fluid. You have to be flexible with those things. They can be a guiding force. They cannot be the end-all be-all. I agree with you that there should be extenuating circumstances. It should not be the thing that dictates the future decisions.
Essentially,
this would be a fourth contract, right?
Yeah.
This would be four.
Mm-hmm. But again, if the Packers sign...
I don't think it's going to happen.
If the Packers do somehow pull this off, my guess is it would be a one, at most, 2-year deal.
Yeah.
Like, he's not going to be giving him 3 or 4. Like, it's going to be very short-term, and it would be friendly towards the Packers.
Yeah, I would imagine the commitment doesn't pass a year. If you want that second year, you guys can figure out how to
make the money. I'd have more confidence if there weren't as many stupid GMs out there. But there are a lot of stupid.
It's a big problem.
Excellent point.
Big problem.
It really is a great point. And some of these guys just fall into these roles. You know, when you talk to people around the league, the general sentiment is that at least half of the general managers out there are just buffoons. They're just a bunch of buffoons.
Jason mentioned Joe Shane before. He lets a 2,000-yard rusher and Xavier McKinney walk out The Giants stunk this year, and he still has a job.
Yeah, but universally, guys, he's one of the people that people in the NFL circles look at and go,
that's what I'm saying.
You also need to factor in, even if you are good at your job, your boss might just make a decision for you, and then you have no decision to make there. Joe Douglas, infamously. Woody Johnson and his sons were making personnel decisions for him.
Ratings and whatnot. We got to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Still lots of stuff to get to. Gabe mentioned it. We've got the defensive grades. We do have top eight as well. Stick around.